fourth grade can make their way to the upper room, just like the apostles did, the kingdom kids. Oh, all the rest of the kingdom kids that are still in this room, please turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to continue a series
on becoming the attitude of, and I'm talking about an attitude that we should have, because when Paul actually wrote the Philippian church, he told them that our attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ. But that's just something that doesn't start, or you don't get zapped with it. It's something that you have to learn to become like. And so as we're becoming more like Jesus, as you're following Jesus, then your attitude changes within, because he has a whole different attitude and perspective on life than most of us have. Now, if you got one of these, you can turn on the back. It's out for note-taking. And I want you to go down after number 5 and draw a line, because that's where we're going to stop today. And I didn't make this decision while I was sitting. I made this decision before we started. This decision is that it's all about absorption. Okay? We just got done talking about a few weeks ago, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. This is going to allow you to be able to drink out of a garden hose compared to a fire hydrant. Okay? So we're going to back off to the garden hose. And next week, now this is clever, you got to come back. Next week, come back and get the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said, okay? So, because we're going to talk about purity of heart this morning, so we're going to go over these top 5 points. But I don't know about you, anybody throw darts? You do? Do you like playing them on a regular basis or something? How many has ever tried it? Okay? How many is really bad at it? You do not want to be standing anywhere near the board when I'm throwing darts, okay? I'd rather take a rifle in my hand, look through a scope, try to steady it. So throwing darts are very, I don't even know, how far are you supposed to stand back if you guys know the rule?
3 feet.
I mean, life so differently when your attitude becomes more.
four, what is known as the Beatitudes, were the attitude from within. Okay, it starts in from inside. It's a decision that you have to make. So that's the first four. This later five, starting with last week and this week, last week being blessed are the merciful, it are the outward. Now, we're going to talk about pure of heart today, but it has an outward action to it. Okay, so we're going to look at that today and start out. So in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, Jesus said, if you really want true happiness, if you want to be a blessed person, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. Now, I don't know what you're thinking right now, but you say, well, there's no way we can see God. There is, I believe, we see God in a twofold way. Yes, for those who are obedient to Him, those who seek after His righteousness, those who thirst and hunger to live that righteousness, those who believe in His Son and make a following of the Son and connect with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and are living their life, denying their self, and being a disciple of Jesus. We will see God for who He is when He sends Jesus back. Truly for who He is. But I believe there's a way that we see God now. Now, it's not going to be seeing Him at His almighty. We can't look at Him. We would die. He's too overwhelming. But you're going to be able to see His Spirit move when we decide that purity of the heart is what we want to become. Because God is pure. And God is holy. And as we seek for that, and as we practice that, then we're going to be able to see God move. Sometimes you have to watch with this, because what we are called to be is the called one out, ecclesia, church, the called one out of a life of darkness and sin into the light and life of Christ. That's what we're called to. And pure of heart is an attitude I need to have and desire to seek after. Those who are pure in heart are those who examine God's heart and decide that they would like to have His kind of heart for their own. I want to adopt God's kind of heart. I want to live for Him. Now, I hit off to the right or left, and I make plenty of mistakes, and I often don't hit the bullseye. But when you do hit the bullseye, you start seeing God in a whole different light. When I adopt God's principles of morality, and when I join with Him in His purposes, I begin not only to understand Him better, I begin to see Him work in this world. No longer will I view Him as a God out there. He's up there somewhere, and all He's doing is just looking down over us, watching our every move, making a checklist, are we naughty or are we nice? That's not God. That's not how He's working. And when I seek a pure heart, then I'll see Him for who He truly is and what He's working in my life and in other people's lives. And that's when we adopt His principles. So we need to be aware that He is the Creator, but I am His creation. and I can see him in a new way. I can see him as a companion. I can see him as a teammate. I really register with that. If you played any sports in here, how many have played on a sports team? Okay, if you've played on a sports team, you start to understand this bond that happens. You don't really know it's happening, but you sense it's happening. And there are some guys today that I played football with in high school that I could pick up the phone, and I haven't talked to them for 30 years. And I would be able to just register with them, and because there was a bond that never seems to cease, and you're able to just talk to them relaxed as if your friendship never ended. Because you shared something together. You shared the pain of practice. You shared the pain and the suffering of all those things that the coach asked you to do that you didn't want to do. I don't know. Alan Morrison is a good friend of mine. Alan Morrison was my center in junior high school and my center in high school. And Alan Morrison and I, during our sophomore year in high school, quit the Parkersburg Big Reds probably about 1,501 times. Because we said, we're never going to go back. We're never going to go back. We're tired of this. We don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't think I can do what the coach is asking me to do. I'm tired of all the sweat and all the dirt. And I'm getting tired of Chris Cates, that was 6'4", 270 pounds, hitting a 5'11", 175-pound person and driving him in the dirt. I get tired of that. And yet we kept getting in the car and driving and going to practice. It's just something that's there, some bond that's made. And I believe when we see God as our companion, yes, he's your creator. Yes, he's the Almighty. We can't forget that. But also, he wants to be our companion. He wants to be our teammate. He is the one with whom you and I can strive to have a better world if I just become more like his heart. So my question, actually, it's Jesus' question for all of us. You get to answer it. Go ahead and answer it outwardly. Do you want to purify your heart? Do you want to purify your heart? Then we're going to find out how. Psalm chapter 24, these are written down for you to go home. If you can skim over it to it real quick, that's fine. These other verses we're going to fly through, but it's for you to be a Berean, go home and look up. But Psalm chapter 24, verses 3 through 6 says this: Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who's going to be able to just go up towards God and his mountain? Who may stand in his holy place? Really? Be holy as he is holy? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God, their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. This passage that Jesus is alluding to in our blessed are the pure in heart, this is the one he's talking about that the psalmist wrote. To be pure in heart, I need to value the same things that God values. Now, how do we do that? Here's your first fill in the blank. Give up what your values are for God's values. Now, if your values and God's matches, they're God's anyways. Okay? But give up any what I value, my value system, for God's value system. When we're walking in our own way, where I get to make all my decisions about who I am, how I react, and what I do, we're running actually away from God. See, it's not about quit attending church. It's about, am I running to God or running away from Him? If I live for myself and make my own decisions and ask God just to bless my own values instead of seeking out His first and wanting to live by His, I'm actually running from Him. We must be willing to give up our own values for His. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live. If you really want to live, I mean, live a life abundantly, God will circumcise your heart. He'll trim away all the values that are worth nothing that you might have, and He will replace it with what He values. And then we follow that, and then we put those things into practice. So that's how I become pure in heart. Number two, draw close to God. Don't stay a distance away from Him. We try to do that so many times. We just try to say, God, you're up there, we're down here. And when things are going bad, it just seems like you're turned your back on us and now you're walking away. God's right down here, right now, working among His people. And God's working in the world to get more children into His family. And He wants to use His believing children to adopt more children. That's what He wants to do. Draw close to God. James says it, draw near to God, and He's going to draw near to you. He's going to come right next to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Realize who I am without God. This is connected to poor in spirit. I am poor without God, and I need Him in my life. Let your laughter turn into, remember, mourning over our sin. Blessed are those who mourn. They're going to be comforted. And your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He's going to lift you up. He's going to exalt you. There's no other better way to live than God being pleased with you, even if the closest person on earth is displeased with you. I would say probably the closest person on earth that's closest to me in a love relationship is my wife. But even the time she's displeased with me, it's best to always have God pleased with me. And that's what we need to seek after. That's our number one goal. God isn't waiting for us at the finish line. He's right here, and He wants to run the race with us. He's ready to meet us with open arms, no barriers that are in the way. Number three, be willing to obey. You know, obedience is a decision. Obedience is sacrificing. I used to think it was just some kind of action I had to do. Well, it is in a way, but it's not one action. I'd always been taught in church by teachers that when you obey the gospel, which is the good news, they only talked about your baptism. That was it. Well, I thought we live our baptism every day afterwards. And so our obedience is not to be a one-time event. Our obedience is to be a life until we die. It's a covenant like a marriage. When we say vows to each other, we say, until what, church? Death do us part. Well, one thing great about God, at our death, it doesn't separate us from Him. It actually takes us to Him. And so our willingness to obey, even when it's tough. You know, it's like Alan and I. Alan and I hated all those practice, but we were willing to listen to the coaches. We finally got to the point to where it started to become our nature of the things that we had to do. And one of the stories that he likes to tell, he's a coach right now, and he says that Kevin, I always tell my boys, especially the sinners, when I'm teaching the sinners how to snap a ball, it all starts with the sinner, you know. I used to think it used to start from the quarterback, but it doesn't. Really, the guy's got to get you the ball first before you can do anything with it. So we had to practice that and practice that and practice that. And we went over it so many times. And he reminds his students he's teaching. He said, we never at one time during a ball game ever fumbled a snap. Now, he broke a few of my fingers, but we never fumbled. And it's because we worked and we worked and we worked and we worked. That's the same way with our relationship with God. You work with Him together to get this attitude on right. I mean, look at what Samuel said about the Lord in 1 Samuel 15. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. Now, what's he saying there? Now, first of all, I always thought that once you become a Christian, as long as you just show up and it's simply like this, God made God happy. Well, to a point it does, but my question was, is how many times did Kevin actually listen and went home, studied it out, had a personal relationship with Jesus himself, learned about God, hungered and thirsted for God, to the point I wanted to change my attitude so I could become more like Jesus? That wasn't a part of my life. Then I showed up at church assembly. Now, which one is God happier with? Me just showing up at a place like this on Sunday morning at 10:30, or absorbing this and going out and becoming? Does He want you just to listen to the Word, or does He want you to live the Word? What's He want? He wants us to live it. Yeah, we know it, but He can't live it without listening. But you can listen without living. We can do that. And actually, true listening is going ahead and living it. Plenty of times my dad said, you didn't listen. I heard you. You didn't listen. Yeah, but I heard the words. You didn't listen. And we now have the willingness to obey. Number four, seek God's guidance. Purity of the heart is obtained, it isn't attained, okay, by lone rangers. We're going to get into this more next week if it's His will to meet again. Now hear this. Please listen to this. We only grow to see God when we seek God out and then ask Him for His assistance. We cannot be obedient to God without God helping us to be obedient. The psalmist writes in a prayer in Psalm 51 this, purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, I'll be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and then renew a right spirit within me. So watch this. If you want to be cleaned, you need purged. God does the purging, and he cleans us. If you want to be whiter than snow, let God wash you. If you want the right spirit to be within you, ask God to create in you a pure heart. You cannot do it without him. You need his assistance. You need his guidance. Maybe perhaps the psalmist recognized something that Kevin's really slow in learning. Pure hearts are created and only sustained by the Almighty God. They are only cleansed when we honestly seek for him. And then the last one for today, for you to take home. We got to get real. I don't know. Has that been kind of worn out? Is that still a teenager? Get real, right? Is that part of it? That's gone? What year am I thinking about? Okay. Well, anyway, in a spiritual sense, we got to get real. Now, what do I mean by that? One day, Jesus was teaching to the crowds, and he focused his message on the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. These were legalists of Jesus' day. They were focused more on the method than they were the message. And what I mean by that, and I think our church needs to have that discussion with each other. I think some of us are obedient to a method and forget the message. I do that. That's why we get upset when something changes. If the message of Jesus Christ, being Lord and Savior and King of all kings and Lord of all lords, and that he came down here to serve and not to be served. And he came down here not to condemn, but to save. He came down here to love and to bring people back to God. And he went to a cross and he was buried and then showed the power of God through his resurrection. If that changes, we've got something to stand up and say no way about. But how we go about doing it in method can change in different ways. We are so far behind in some ways the culture that is changing among us all the time, and they're taking it and mingling it with evil. They're actually making evil look good. We've got to get the righteousness of God in different methods so that we can tell people it's not about the method, it is about what the message is saying. What we used back in the 1950s in the church, if it's not working now, change the method. But don't change the message. And don't get angry at brothers and sisters that have a different method. We need to get real. We need to purify our hearts. Why? If we don't have pure hearts, we're not going to love each other, and all we're going to do is devour each other, and we're going to be like so many people that form up churches. We're going to get mad, angry, split, divide, run off, whatever, because we're not getting our way. Well, whatever happened to getting it God's way? Whatever happened to that? That should be our first priority. We need to get real. We don't need to be legalists. Get this. The religious legalist is the ones that stirred the crowd that killed the most purest being who ever walked this earth. And if you want to kill Christ's people, become a legalist. Become one. Because you kill other people who are just trying to love the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love their neighbor as theirself. Matthew chapter 23. I know when I say it, it won't go very far. Matthew chapter 24, verse 25 through 28, the lesson jurors. This is your almighty Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, speaking. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside are full of greed and self-indulgence. You're blind, Pharisee. First, you clean out the inside of the cup and the dish, and then outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teacher of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as being righteous, but on the inside, you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness. We've got to get real. By all external measurements, these religious leaders look great. Anyone who saw them would identify them as men of God. People were spiritually superior than most people. But Jesus got real with them. Jesus could look into their eye and see deep down into their souls. And what he saw was religious counterfeits, people who claimed to be pure, but their hearts were filled with bitterness and pride. So really, the message is clear to us. In your relationship with Jesus, in my relationship with Jesus, we've got to allow him to tell us what's real. We've got to become who we're seeking after on the inside, and it'll show up on the outside. Prove to yourself that God is true by becoming the attitude of the pure in heart. And when your heart is pure, you'll see God.